Good morning and welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us. This morning I'd like to complete our lesson series entitled Jesus is the Way by presenting the lesson called Jesus is the Way to God. In the last lesson we saw that by His death on the cross, Jesus made possible the forgiveness of our sins. And when our sins are forgiven, we are no longer objects of God's wrath. Romans 5 verse 9 says, "Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." And as wonderful as being justified by the blood of Jesus may be, we need more than this. We need the type of relationship that existed between God and Adam before the fall of man. But if a close relationship is to exist between God and ourselves, we must understand God and feel comfortable in approaching Him. And when we contemplate the differences between God and man, we can see how this might be difficult. Let's consider the differences between God and man. When we consider the nature of God as revealed in the Bible in nature, we see one with unlimited power, unlimited wisdom, unlimited holiness, one who is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the knower of all things, one who is eternal, immortal, and invisible. Indeed, this supreme being fills the entire universe with His presence. Jeremiah 23 at verse 23 says, "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" On the other hand, man is mortal and finite in knowledge and understanding. He is the created one, sustained by God, who supplies all of His needs. As we read in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 24, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Verse 27, "so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." So you can see how the difference between God and man is so great that it ought to overwhelm man with awe. Note the reflections of David as expressed in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 at verse 1 says, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Your hand will lead me, and Your right hand will lay a hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be my night, even the darkness is not dark to You, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to You." God is absolutely amazing. He is the supreme being, and the difference between God and man is overwhelming. And in the Bible, whenever man came close to approaching God in His glory, it was terrifying. When God first spoke to Moses, even he was afraid. Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reads, "Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." And the Israelites at Mount Sinai were terrified after receiving the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the smoking mountain. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. How then can man hope to comprehend God and approach him in a close relationship during this life? This difficulty was experienced and expressed by Job in Job 9, 32 and 33. He said, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on both of us." But what may have been the case in Job's day, that there's no mediator or no go-between, is no longer true today, because Jesus is the means by which man can comprehend God and also approach him in such a way as to enjoy a loving relationship with him by knowing that Jesus is the way to God. Jesus helps us comprehend God. In coming to earth, Jesus declared or manifested God to us. John 1:18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And how was he able to declare or explain God? For one thing, he came to this earth from God and is the only one who has truly seen him. We read in John 6 at verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father." But also, Jesus is God himself. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." This Word that was with God and was God, the one who came in the flesh, John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This Word was Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is in seeing Jesus that we are able to comprehend the Father. Just as Jesus told his disciples in John 14:7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And in similar fashion, Jesus' apostles said that he was the complete manifestation of God. Colossians chapter 2 at verse 9 and 10 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." It is in Jesus that God is revealed in terms that the mortal, finite man can comprehend and personally relate to. Therefore, as we study the Gospels, we see Jesus and his attributes, his power, wisdom, holiness, love, mercy, and divine wrath. And as we see Jesus, we see God and His attributes. But Jesus also provides the way to God by helping us approach God. By offering Himself as a propitiation for our sins, Jesus has made it possible for a sinful man to approach God who is supremely holy and just. Jesus helps us to approach God in yet another way as our high priest in heaven. Though Jesus was truly God, as stated by John and Paul, by becoming man, He fully understands our difficulties. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." With such a wonderful high priest, one who is both God and man, we can approach God with great confidence. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need." And it's through Jesus that we can both comprehend God and approach God, making it possible to have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father, enjoying all the blessings that such a relationship provides. And to better appreciate the beauty of this relationship available with God through Jesus, let's briefly notice some of the terms used in the New Testament to describe this relationship between God and man. First, there are terms which proclaim a special relationship with our Heavenly Father. We are called children of God, Galatians chapter 3, 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And we're also called the house of God or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." And there are also terms which proclaim a special relationship with a holy supreme being. One that describes us as a special dwelling place of God, the temple of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Another speaks of our role in service to God as a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2 verse 5, 1 Peter 2 verse 9. And there are other terms that could be considered, but these suffice to show that it is possible for those who were once lost in sin to enjoy a new, personal, intimate, and fulfilling relationship with the majestic God in heaven. And what a wonderful relationship it is. One that offers promises that overwhelm you. For example, when God promises, "I will never leave you or forsake you," in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But let us be clear in our understanding. Jesus is the way. He is the only way to God, John chapter 14, verse 6. And only those in Jesus have the assurance of enjoying this wonderful relationship with God. But how can we be sure that we're in Jesus, and as such, the children of God? The way to be sure is by taking to heart and life the truth of God's Word, by becoming children of God through faith and baptism. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 reads, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Have you become a child of God by believing His Word, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and by being baptized for the forgiveness of sins? If not, why not today? If you have, are you maintaining your relationship with both the Father and the Son by abiding in the doctrine of Christ? If not, why not be restored to God today through repentance and prayer? Only in doing so will you allow Jesus to be your way to God. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can call me at 304 727-0761. You could email me at wvdj105@aol.com, or you could stop by and see us for one of our worship services. We meet for Bible class on Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:25 and then again at 6 p.m. And we also meet on Wednesday evening for Bible study at 7 p.m. Stop by and see us. And until next week, thank you so much for joining us for Words of Truth.